We're back. Arne Yarbrough, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Of course, we got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi thrown in for good measure. Now, we started this radio show today talking about men of the West, talking about building again, talking about the need for men of courage, men of valor, men who will stand in the gap and do what is right, even when powers that be stand against them. You know, in this past session or two, I had the privilege, through Representative Shane Stringer, brought Pastor Travis Johnson in. You might have seen him in some 1819 articles. Maybe you follow him on social media, has a big following there, doing some great stuff, some great work for the Lord. But I first met this man in the context of him taking a courageous stand as a pastor in the State House, challenging us to be men of God, men of principle, conservative, according to even our state party platform, upholding our oaths and our vows. And I was struck with, wow, this is like Pastor Jonas Clark, Pastor Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg from the American Revolution, right? This is really inspiring to see a pastor with this kind of courage, conviction, speak truth to power and know that he just needed to fear God and didn't need to fear men. So, Pastor Travis Johnson, welcome to the show. I'm so honored and glad you could join us.
It's so good to be with you, Representative Yarbrough. That's pretty amazing.
Well, we are glad to have you there, and I think it might have been a little bit, make sure you got a little bit of a connection issue there. Hopefully, can you hear me there? Are you good?
I got you.
Very good. So, yes, sir. So, when I met you, and I was so inspired by your example and your words, and then I called you on the phone, and you shared some of your story about how you even got into this situation. And really, it started back, I think, was it in Florida? And really, you just did the right thing. And it blew up from there, what God did. So maybe, you know, sometimes we feel like, you know, what can I do? How can I get to, I'll never be at a level of a Pastor Travis Johnson who's rubbing elbows with President Trump now, going to private dinners, doing these things and speaking truth. But really it all started from what you told me with just doing the right thing when the powers that be were opposing you. Tell us a little bit about what happened there.
Well, thanks. You know, you might have overhyped me a little bit, but I'll break it down. You know, really it comes down to this. Everybody, everywhere, is confronted with a challenge, whether you're a parent, a teenager, in work, pastor, politics, business, whatever, and a giant will confront you. And we are faced with the choice of responding to that giant or shrinking back. And so, you know, I think like David, he took some sandwiches to the front lines to his brother, saw a giant shouting and condemning the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he spun around and looked for his brothers and that whole army to do something, but he didn't see courageous men. He saw an army of cowards, and what he did is he stepped up, and what I have found out is that when a giant confronts us, if we will step up, the giant will fall back, and the giants that confront us today become our platforms for tomorrow. So, hey, listen, there are moms and dads out there right now that they're facing major challenges in their own family and they're afraid to have real discussions with their kids because maybe their kids are going to push. Every single giant that confronts us, you know, on moral issues, on spiritual issues, political issues, and straight courage and conviction. And so that's all that happened. I was just pastoring a startup church. I was just a young church planter. And we were doing baptisms out at the beach, and we had our baptism shut down by park officers. And now, my family's from Alabama, about five generations, but I was pastor. You know, we stepped in there, and they said we couldn't do baptisms because it was offensive to people. I said, look, I'm broke. I don't have a big advertising budget, but I could use the publicity. Our next baptism is on this date, and if you want to come out and arrest us, I'll just tell everybody to get in the cop car. And we had religious liberty law firms wanting to support us, and Fox News was wanting to interview us. And, you know, God gave us a great victory. The church exploded. I ended up having the county manager for Miami-Dade County end up in my church, weeping on the second row. And it was just a real miracle. That began a journey, you know, of me going from being a pastor, just want to get along with everybody, which is good. That's good. But to being a little bit more, you know, a little more based. I mean, that's kind of my ex handle bass, Pastor Trav, you know,
yes.
Just a little cleaner, a little stronger. And then God has just one step after another really blessed us so much.
Wow, it's so incredible. Just doing, you know, I have a pastor and he says, just do the next right thing, right?
That's
and that
right.
may be courage, whatever it is, to do the right thing, trusting God. And the Lord can do, you know, we started off quoting Lord of the Rings, or I think it was Bilbo or Frodo said, you know, you have to be careful putting your foot out of your house because you never know where the road will take you. And so how did you get from that point to where now you've been invited to, I think, several things at the White House, suppers with President Trump, and speaking on, you know, faith and religious issues? How did that come about?
Well, one thing led to the other. And I found out that, you know, especially for pastors and Christians, I think there's this big misnomer that Christians and pastors shouldn't be involved in politics. But if we don't get involved in politics, it'll get involved in us.
That's right.
And so as I did that, just more doors opened up, more opportunities opened up. I became more firm in my conviction. Mm-hmm. I looked around and I saw, to me, it seemed like for the last three decades, we've been rounding off the corners on the gospel, and mm-hmm. pulpits were full of passive preachers. And we were speaking about everything as long as it wasn't controversial. It didn't push back on the cultural narrative. And so as I spoke to it more, those doors opened up. And so I'd find myself in different places. You know, I got involved in the National Faith Advisory Board. You know, we had some challenges. You know, we had a challenge here in Mobile in 2023.
Yeah.
Of course, I think everybody got radicalized in 2020, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the COVID and the, you know, the protests. And,
for sure.
You know, the...
That's why I ran for office.
LGBTQ agenda. Yeah, all of that is just wild. Like, I think that forced everybody to pick a side.
Yep.
But all of those things really just came together, and one after another. And in 2023, I prayed a prayer in the city of Mobile, city council. And now it was in June. And there were some people there protesting drag queens. I was coming in from out of the country, wasn't in any way connected to it, and I was happy to see people there doing that. You know, they were dancing in front of our cathedral. We had like three linebacker-sized men culturally appropriating womanhood.
Yeah.
You know, dancing with a bunch of little kids. And so anyway, in my prayer, I said, you know, I was praying for our leaders according to Paul's instruction to us in Timothy. And so I did that, and then I said, Lord, especially put a hedge of protection around our children who are being targeted by ideologies in our schools, parks, libraries, and online. And so when I did that, the lovely folks over at AL.com started writing articles about that, and our family got doxxed. My wife's salary was published, pictures of our kids, where we live, all that. So that was awesome. Activists did that.
Yep.
Freedom from Religion Foundation showed up, ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center. They also, Human Rights Campaign started activating, and pastors all over Mobile came together.
Yeah.
And we wrote a letter to Mobile saying, as gospel pastors, we call on, we value the First Amendment rights of all people, but as gospel pastors, we call on all people everywhere, whether they are gay or straight, to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ. And then secondly, as pastors who also represent taxpayers in the city, we totally object to the painting of our war memorial in rainbow, drag queens dancing with our children in our parks using our tax money, and to having LGBTQ liaisons in city council. And it was an amazing point where we came together. Long story short, the LGBTQ liaisons got fired. We became the first city in America to lower our human rights campaign NEI score. So we're less indoctrinated in 2025 than we were in 2023.
Amen. Well, and that really started because, again, by the grace of God, courage to act. And it's like, you know, the worst they can do is threaten you. But then that threatening and that doxing and that becomes the platform. It's like God takes, it's like the cross in a sense, you know, God takes the worst that the devil can do, or in your case, like it's sort of the worst that the servants of darkness can do. And that becomes a platform for greater things. And it's like the message there is don't not have courage, right? Remember Braveheart, the movie where he says to Wallace says to Robert the Bruce, he says, your title gives you claim to the throne of Scotland, but men don't follow titles, right? They follow courage.
Right.
And so that courage to stand on what you know is right, that it's like they're counting on men being cowards. They're counting on men being anything but what God has made men to be. And when I go and speak at Republican meetings and even especially Republican women's groups, I say, look, I believe our number one problem under God is a lack of principled, courageous, biblical male leadership in this country. And so I was just struck when you were speaking, just maybe as we have about maybe a minute left here, just what is your message to Christian men and particularly to Christian politicians, men who are politicians, who what do they need to do to have courage and to do what's right? What would you say to them to encourage them to stand according to our party platform and our biblical platform on which we put our hand and take an oath?
I would say stop telling us what we want to hear and failing to do what you promised. We elect conservatives. We want conservatives to watch. I don't want another sidewalk in my town if I have to give up my sons. I don't want it. Mm-hmm. And so the cultural and the economic, all of those things matter. And so much of government has encroached on that which is theological and that which is moral. And so we've got to stand. And let me say this, there's some great things. You know, if you want to get invited by President Trump, you have to face some giants. That's really what it is. So I never asked for it. It is, we got a great president. Man, he's an awesome president. I'm so thankful for him. You know, he's pushed back on this gender indoctrination stuff. Mm. He's done so much. Our economy, I go on and on. But, you know, I do have something right now that literally we just hit the launch button on it. And the greatest genocide is going on in the world right now in the DR Congo. I just came back. President Felix Antoine Tshisekedi had invited me. I preached on the front lawn of their White House to 30,000 people.
Wow.
In a meeting that he named DRC USA for Peace in Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And there have been 8 million people killed. Right now there are 700,000 people displaced.
Mm.
Last Sunday there were 40 Christians in a church beheaded. The week before that, 70 is genocide. And so we are asking people to help end the silent genocide. I'd love for all the awesome right side folks to go to endthesilentgenocide.com, drop your signature. You know, I just got off Eric Metaxas.
Oh, yeah.
I see a ton of incredible people, Dr. Alvia King. It's a powerhouse group. And, you know, why have influence? Why see a need like that and then not have the courage to step forward? So I'd love for everybody to come over and check that out in the silentgenocide.com.
Amen. I pulled it up now. We'll get on there and sign the petition. Pastor Travis, thank you for coming today. Thank you for joining us. Your courage is an inspiration to me. I mean, to me, it's like God is gracious to bring the manifestation back of men and pastors. When you think, oh, it's the end or it'll never be the same or we had great men in the past, great leaders, but no. God is in the business of taking darkness and peeling it back with light. God is in the business of raising up in the moments of need. God is in the business of raising up men across multiple spheres of life and ministry to speak truth to power and shine light into the darkness. We praise God for you, and I trust that if any politicians are today are hearing the sound of your voice, that they will heed your words, take courage, and do not. I love that line, T-shirt right there. I don't want another sidewalk if it means I have to trade my sons. So, Pastor Johnson, thank you so much. God bless you, sir. You are a great example by the grace of God of the right side way.